Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Aaron Nagler with some extra cheese for you here on Cheesehead TV. I am talking to Corey Lindsley, who is cameraless at the moment while he drives to a location that is undisclosed at the moment. Maybe he will disclose it here publicly. But Corey, thanks for joining Cheesehead TV on your Tuesday afternoon drive.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for having me.
There he is. Thought I lost you there for a second. You know, I know we heard from you last week on the radio, and you were talking about how maybe the future was about, looked like you were going to be, quote, snapping the ball someplace else next season. But, you know, the weekend has come and gone. We did just hear from Brian Gutekunst saying, you know, we'd love to have Corey back. We'd love to have Corey back. So did you get a call from the 920 area code this weekend by any chance?
You know, I didn't, but you know, we're just moving forward. Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of like my interpretation of the situation at the time when I, you know, that I'm talking about, but that what I was talking about, I guess. But, again, like I would love to be back in Green Bay. Like, absolutely. It was, you know, I appreciate them saying that for sure. I didn't see that, but, that's always nice to hear, you know, but, it is what it is. You know, we understand the situation. You know, my agent and I understand that this is a different year with different limitations and, you know, an anomaly at best, but, it is what it is. We understand it, like I said, and, you know, I guess we're just moving forward with, we're ready to go wherever. It really doesn't matter
right.
to me. Again, love to be back with the Packers. Can't emphasize that enough, and can't emphasize enough that we also understand the position that everybody is in. So,
have you kind of been preparing for this since day three of the draft last year when they took three offensive linemen? It's got to be kind of impossible to push it from your mind when you see how they've operated in the past, the fact that they do draft three linemen. They're day three. You were a day three pick yourself. Have you kind of been mentally preparing for this all year?
You know, honestly, I take every year, and this is, you know, the truth. I do take every year like it's a contract year. I try, you know, because it is. And in the position that I'm in, you know, we were talking about it. I was talking about somebody the other day. There's like three guys in the locker room that, you know, probably like four or five guys in the locker room that – are, you know, indispensable from the team. And then the rest of us, you know, we're trying to play as best that we possibly can. I'm always trying to be as at the top of my game and get better every year. And I think that's the motto for most of the guys in the locker room. And assuredly our leaders for sure. And Aaron and Dave, you know, on the offense, and Devontae. And it's impressive to watch those guys, you know, just get better every year. And so that's kind of the mantra that I've taken. And so with regards to the picks, you know, I know what prepared me in the past, or I guess looking towards the past, was just the way that, you know, Josh Sitton and TJ Lang and, you know, Brian Bulaga, those guys, you know, when it came their time, when it came sort of in the situation that I'm in, you know, they went elsewhere to find work. And so that's kind of, I guess, the precedent that they've set. But again, anything is possible. Anything, you know, can happen in the next coming weeks. And again, we'd love to be back. You know, just the precedent that they've set in the past. That's kind of what's been. And again, we understand everything. You know, I'm just. This offseason, I'm trying like I do every offseason to be the best player I can coming up the next season, and that's that.
You know, during the year when you were out for a few weeks and they had to slide guys around, we talked to Elton Jenkins about his preparation when it comes to, or it came to, identifying, IDing protections and making the calls on the line. And he mentioned specifically how in practice he would watch you and listen to you make the calls and try and check that against himself and say, okay, that's the call I would have made, et cetera. Does that make it weird as a veteran player when you're there as a role model and a maybe a mentor for guys you know are there eventually to take your place?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it would. I think it would be weird if we didn't have such a great, just a great vibe in our O line room. The guys in our O line room, honestly, we I feel like we gel so well together. And you know, Elton's a lot younger than Dave and I and Billy, and but he came in from day one, and we could tell that he was going to be a special player, and that he was a smart, intelligent football player, and he gelled well with us. And we all get along, and it would be different, I guess, if maybe he had a different attitude, or other guys in the locker or in the O-line room had a different attitude. But honest to God, I mean, day in and day out, week in and week out, we want nothing but the best for each other, and we want nothing but the best for the team, and we're all working for that. And I feel really fortunate, because I'm not sure, obviously, if it happens at every team like that. I'm not sure if every offensive line is like that, but I know ours is like that. And it was a, you know, it was awesome to be a part of that O-line last year and the year before, you know, and all the years that I've been there. Again, it's just been such a great attitude, great, you know, cohesion in the O-line room that we've been able to maintain for a number of years now. And that's credit to the guys that, that were the vets when I got in there. And that's a credit to the young guys too, for accepting the attitude that we have to get better every day, to have fun, but you know when to lock in, know when to be a professional, know when to know how to act, you know. So credit all around, and to the coaches too, for sure, man. I mean, it was just it's a good deal. So again, just to answer your question, I mean, it would be different if I didn't want the absolute best for everybody in that room, but that's, I can honestly say that, and those guys are fantastic.
Now, you were nominated this year for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award for your work with CASA. Do you plan on continuing that work either in Green Bay and Wisconsin or wherever you end up? Is that the type of stuff you want to continue to do off the field?
Yeah, for sure. We're actually doing a little plug right here, I guess, but we're doing a CASA event. Oh, God, I don't have the date on my offhand. I actually saved it in my phone.
Oh, great. So you can't go look at it. Right. I got you.
So yeah, I
we'll tweet it out. Don't worry. Cheesehead TV Social will find it and absolutely blow it up. Don't worry about that.
I'm terrible with this. This is why my wife told me last night. She's like, put this in your phone. It's in April. We got a CASA virtual event. I was like, all right. And then I don't have any recollection of what day that is. So, but there's a virtual CASA event in April that we'll be a part of, obviously the CASA of Brown County. And, you know, again, we're going to keep in touch with them, do what we can. And hopefully, you know, wherever we end up, if we end up back in Green Bay, obviously we're going to continue our work with CASA there. But yeah, you know, CASA is nationwide. I know it's not everywhere, but we'd love to continue our work with that in whatever capacity we can.
Now, this is going to be the hardest hitting question of the session here. I have one or two more, and then I'm gonna throw it open to the Cheesehead TV crew here in the comments, who are already going nuts. Now this is the tough one. Which Packers media member will you miss the most if you do indeed move on this offseason? Which Packers media member will you miss the most?
All right, we'll save, you know, except you guys.
Yeah, the Cheesehead TV doesn't count.
Yeah, right. So we can't use that. Shoot, I gotta think, man. I don't know. Honestly, the media in Green Bay, I think, has always treated me with a bunch of respect. Everybody, you know, I don't have a bad thing to say about anybody, really, from my individual perspective. I don't know. I you know, all of them, I guess. I hope wherever I go, again, if it's somewhere else. If it's not, I'll be fortunate to remain in a great media market with a bunch of great guys. But the guys that have remained, at least now, you know, these past couple years, we've had some bad eggs in there that have thankfully left, but, that have just been, you know, not great people, but the guys that have been there the past couple years have been all great, respectful people. And, I hope again, if I come back, it's awesome. If I leave, I hope that it's the same way wherever I go.
Now you talk possibly leaving. Now that is an obvious possibility. We know this. Let's say, you know, a couple weeks happens, the legal tampering period opens up and you get a bunch of calls. Has your agent talked to you at all about potential landing spots already? I mean, places where, hey, you know, they're probably going to need a guy. They've got a young quarterback. They're probably going to need help up front, blah, blah, blah. Has that subject come up? And I obviously don't need you to name any names or teams, etc. Yeah. But have you guys had those discussions?
Yeah, for sure. You know, obviously everybody knows, everybody can see what team, you know, either had a center retire or center leave in free agency, you know, whatever. Everybody knows the teams that everybody that's interested in it, I guess, can see the teams that need centers. But the biggest thing that my agent has discussed with me is that in the next coming weeks, there's going to be a lot of movement, right? Because again, we're in this crazy year with new rules, new cap. You know, the cap has taken a hit overall, and there's going to be a lot of moves happening in the next coming week. So even to look at the teams that possibly need a center, really everybody's in play for us right now. We really have no idea, because different teams, again, can make different moves and either clear up cap space or sign guys. You know, you saw, obviously JJ Watt just went to the Cardinals. So, you know, stuff like that can happen at any moment. So we're kind of just sitting here waiting. You got to be patient. That's the biggest thing he stressed with me is just patience. You know, keep working out like I am and training and everything. Nothing's going to change from that standpoint. So just, you know, control what you can control.
Now I'm gonna throw you a few questions here from our viewing audience here at Cheesehead TV, starting with Jeff Smith. Thanks for the super chat, buddy. He says, I'm a Penn Stater. Since you are a Packer, I've been able to look past where you are from. Sincerely hope you are back. Good luck, / Cheesehead TV. So Jeff Smith, a Penn Stater, hoping you're back in the fold in Green Bay.
I appreciate that. And I actually, so I have my dad's side of my family, my grandparents, two uncles, and then my aunt all live in Happy Valley. My aunt and uncle actually used to work for the university, and so growing up, I kind of, Penn State was like kind of on the map for me. And a funny side story was, I want to say it was Jay Paterno that came in and told my offensive coordinator in high school that he didn't think I could play in the Big Ten, and my offensive coordinator like flipped out on him, and it's this huge incident in my high school. It wasn't huge, I guess, but it was like in football terms, you know,
right.
In the room of whatever office, they like, they were yelling
they had it
at
out.
Each other. And,
that's amazing. Oh my God.
At each other. And so Penn State never really came back to my high school for anybody.
Right after that.
But honestly, thank God I didn't go there to, you know, let's.
Indeed.
You know, obviously not bring up what happened, but you know, I think
everybody knows, you don't have to say it. No doubt about it.
It was a blessing in disguise, but it would have been nice. I mean, it would have been nice to be, you know, close to the family or whatever, but we see him. So is what it is.
You do. And hell, you had a hell of a career there at Ohio State. So, you know, I think it all worked out pretty damn well. Brandy Lewis asks, can you talk about what it was like to take over for JC Tretter?
Yeah, it was crazy. And I'm so glad that everything's worked out for JC, because I know he's a heck of a player, obviously. And
right.
He had the injury history, and he had the crazy freak injuries, the two of them at the Packers, and the timing was just unbelievable.
So really, that whole stretch was nuts. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really weird for people that, you know, are big center, you know, freaks, I guess. It was wild, you know, but it was JC was, you know, a phenomenal guy to come in and look up to and, you know, learn from, because he's such a great athlete and he's intelligent, obviously doing well, you know, NFL, wouldn't want anybody else as our NFLPA president for sure. So, you know, it was crazy after that third week. It was very stressful. I was very nervous going into Seattle, and obviously JC had played well up until that point. So there was that. I didn't want you know, me to be the reason why there was this drop off. You know, so it was a stressful time, but I'm glad that obviously I, you know, did well and, you know, perform well enough to keep going. But, JC's had a ton of success in Cleveland and, you know, now they're making the playoffs and stuff over there. And, definitely a little bit jealous that he's back in Ohio, but, because I love this great state, but, you know, other than that, I mean, it's, you know, it was a crazy time for sure.
Kevin Gibson wants to know, could you beat David Bakhtiari in a beer chugging contest?
Nah, probably not. I'm not a beer guy. That was impressive. I tell you who can is Aaron. That was embarrassing, but it was awesome to see Dave chug that beer. That was impressive. You know, I'll just admit it. You know, I'm going to be rational about it. I definitely couldn't do it, but yeah, it is what it is.
Scott Colo asks, what is Ndamukong Suh's problem with the Packers?
I mean, I don't know. He shoot, anybody in our division, you know, when
right.
Is, you know, it's a rivalry for sure. It's, I don't know. He's a, you know, stud top player in the league who, you know, was on a team that wanted to beat the Packers. And I think, you know, it all just stems from that. I don't know. I don't know that he, at least from my point of view, you know, it's not really crazy, but,
So during games or anything, you guys haven't had any issues, like any jawing, any problems? I mean, yourself specifically?
And the guy, even, you know, playing Tampa a couple times, it really wasn't that crazy. But, you know, before, I know he had there was a couple crazy games there. Before I got there, yeah. I guess that was prior to me being there. It wasn't really, I don't know, I guess it kind of died down, or like maybe there was, you know, talk like we don't want to, you know, neither team wanted to get a, you know, 15-yard penalty or whatever, right. You know, keep play smart ball, I guess. But, yeah, not really sure.
Miran asks, who is a lineman you looked up to when you started in the league, in the NFL? A lineman you looked up to?
I used to watch a lot. I guess it's kind of different because, you know, the teams that you're playing, obviously, you know, you have your division and then you have, you know, the AFC division that you're playing. And then right. You know, you have the slate of teams that you're playing. So then, you know, there's only so many teams that you really watch throughout the year. But I can remember watching a lot of, God, oh my God. Now I'm drawing a blank. I've always watched Jason Kelce. Thought he was, a heck of a player and always, you know, wanted to, you know, mimic parts of my game after his. And Ryan Khalil was the other guy that I watched a lot of. And then Max Unger. Those three guys were kind of guys that I watched when I came into the league, just because, you know, obviously they're great players, but all three of them. But I also watched a ton of their film just because that's who we happened to watch a ton of film of, you know. So those are three guys that I tried to mimic part of my game after and take maybe some things that they did well and try to implement them.
I just remembered something I did want to ask you that I almost forgot about. What did you make of your quarterback, Mr. Aaron Rodgers, calling you I can't remember the exact phrase, but a world-class troll, I think, was uttered at one point?
Where did he say that? I didn't even see that.
You didn't hear that? That was a McAfee like months ago. Or no, wait, was it Mike? It was an availability, or it was McAfee, but he definitely said it. It is definitely out there in the public sphere.
Man, I didn't. Yeah, that's
funny. I can't believe you didn't hear that. Oh yeah, my God. Now really, I got to find that clip.
I've been kind of off social media a little bit, but.
It was an availability. Yeah, it was definitely an availability. It wasn't McAfee. It was an availability, but he did call you a world-class troll.
Okay. Yeah. I guess it's like it kind of started with the soccer thing, you know, Brian and just poking fun. It's like my stupid sense of humor, you know, that's like kind of where it comes from. You know, Brian and our athletic trainers, Nate Weir and Flea and all them, they Andrew, they love watching footy, you know, and they're always gutted with them when the mates lose. And
you got them all. You got three of the buzzwords right there. That was great.
Right.
That was
well done. So, you know, when they say, you know, they talk and everything about soccer, I'd be like, man, this is so strange, you know? So I just, I kind of got into it and developed sort of a fandom. And, you know, that's kind of where it all started. Just trolling Brian, because Brian would get so upset. Brian would hate. He's a big Man City fan. I mean, he knows everything about soccer. He loves that.
And that's so random to me too. I remember when that kind of came out, right? And he started talking about it, and people were asking about. I was like, Brian Balaga, Iowa, Man City, what?
Man, I mean, it's definitely you're right. It's random, but he's like he. I mean, I tell you, he knows like the freaking the transfers, the like these young club kids.
Right. The U19s or whatever. Yeah.
I don't even know what he's talking about at the time. Phil Foden. I have no idea who that is, but Brian loves Phil Foden. he knew him from a young age. And said he's going to be a stud. I'm making that up, honestly. I just know the guy's name.
Right. Naturally.
Plays for Man City, but,
oh, my God. Yeah, that was kinda, I love it. I absolutely love it. We got a bunch of other comments here. People entreating you not to go anywhere in the NFC North. I know you can't make that promise, but you know it'd be nice. It'd be a nice gesture if you went to the AFC. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Justin says, Corey, your ability to get to the second level in the run game is so impressive. Is that something you've worked on? Is that something you've like always had? Is that is it second nature to you? What is it about your ability to get off that first block and get to the second level?
Yeah, I appreciate that, him saying that. It has not been something that I've always been good at, for sure. I was not very good at it in my first couple of years in the league. And I really feel like these last couple of years I've gotten a lot better at that. And a lot of that is a credit to, it's not slighting anybody at all. I'm just saying I've gotten better. A lot of credit is to Adam Stenovich and, the staff. And I feel like they just some things that they teach technique wise clicked with me and helped me out a lot. That was just kind of how it was, it clicked at the right time. And hopefully I can continue that success. And there's still, there's definitely things that I got to get better at in terms of getting, my pad level and different stuff at the second level that I'm working on every day pretty much here when I'm training. So just harping on that, making sure that I'm staying on that. And but yeah, a lot of credit goes to them for sure. Just the different techniques that kind of hit with me and helped me out a lot for sure.
And finally, the last question from our viewers here. We have Jeremy asking, who was the hardest player for you to block in your career so far? The hardest player to block?
Shoot. I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to, be cheesy or anything. No pun intended. It was bad. But I don't think – I got, a question not long ago about, Kenny Clark. And, somebody said he was having a down year or something. I don't know, but I wasn't really concerned with that. But the thing is, without a doubt, man, he is a stud player in the NFL, man. He's fantastic. Going up against him has prepared me, so well for the other guys that I have to face in the league. There's a ton of great nose guards. Been a ton of great nose guards in the NFC North, especially, but Kenny has a lot of stuff to his game that he does at an extremely high level, and going up against him day in and day out has helped me out a ton.
Corey Lindsley talking to us here on Extra Cheese. Corey, I can't thank you enough for taking the time, hanging out a little bit here. Don't know what obviously is in store the next week, 10 days, etc. But we really appreciate everything you've done so far in your Packers career. And if you are someplace else next year, please don't be a stranger. And thanks for taking the time with Cheesehead TV today.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you guys having me.